This is Optimal Finance Daily, episode 2044. Why you should be happy the markets are crashing by Wanderer of millennial-revolution.com. And I'm your host and personal finance enthusiast, Diana Merriam. This is actually one of multiple shows in our network covering different topics like personal development, health, and relationships. So if you like narration style podcasts, be sure to search for Optimal Living Daily wherever you're hearing this. And check out our other shows. But for now, let's get right to today's post as we optimize your life. Why You Should Be Happy The Markets Are Crashing by Wanderer of millennial-revolution.com. One of the nice things about being sequestered away in Greece for 2 weeks was our rather serene and much appreciated separation from the daily news cycle. For 2 weeks, we were completely sheltered from the day-to-day shootings, terrorist attacks, and whatever the hell Trump said, did, or Twittered that day. And I gotta say, it was awesome. So it was with a great deal of trepidation that I returned back to the real world last week and turned on my phone again. And as I feared, I got inundated with emails like this. Oh my God, are you seeing what's happening in the stock market? I've been reading your investment workshop, but is this still a good time to invest? Everything seems so unstable right now. I'm so scared right now. Should I sell everything? So still smelling like ouzo, it was such a crazy 2 weeks, you guys. I frantically pulled up my news feeds to figure out what everyone was panicking about. And as soon as I did, the headlines blared at me in big black and white typeface. Worldwide stock market drops 10%. My reaction? Yawn. Seriously, people, yawn. A 10% correction is not something to panic about, especially one in which the US jobless rate is at a record low, the economy is expanding, and the Fed is raising interest rates because they're afraid of the economy expanding too fast. I know everybody wants a simple rule book for what to do in a time of crisis, and most of the time, a simple rule book doesn't exist. But in the narrow case of investing, and specifically investing in low-cost index ETFs, there's actually a simple rule book. When stock market crashes happen, the worst thing to do is sell, the okay thing to do is hold, and the best thing to do is buy. Why? Because the index can never go to zero. It's an aggregate of all successful companies in the stock market. And even if an individual company goes bankrupt, the index never does. Because the index is market cap weighted, as companies shrink into oblivion, they get sold and pushed out. And as other companies expand and grow to take their place, they get bought and brought in. The only way the index goes to zero is if all companies in the US go to zero. And if that ever happens, your retirement portfolio will be the least of your worries because the aliens will have invaded. But I'm scared. Okay, let's take a moment to deal with something we all feel at some point in our lives, fear. Don't get me wrong, fear is healthy, fear is good. Fear keeps us from running into traffic or confronting angry grizzly bears. But sometimes fear holds us back. Every successful investor has had a moment of pants-shitting terror, of seeing their hard-earned money lit on fire and then flushed down the toilet. Every investor has had a moment in which their finger is hovering over the sell all button, every instinct telling them to take what was left of their money and run. We should know, we were those people. During the years of 2008-2009, in the depths of the great financial crisis, we were faced with that exact dilemma. We had money in the stock market, or at least in a 60-40 split of the stock market. Our savings were evaporating and we were panicking. During that time, I distinctly remember putting $1,000 into our investment accounts and then having the stock market drop so much that the next day that $1,000 had vanished. It was like that South Park cartoon. You put in money and it's gone. And during that time, the news was crazy. Lehman Brothers had just declared Chapter 11. Entire countries like Iceland were going bankrupt. Capitalism as a concept was on the verge of collapse. And yet we didn't hit that sell all button. Why? Were we brave? Were we courageous? Were we smarter than everyone else? No, we were just as scared shitless as everyone else. So why didn't we hit that sell all button? I distinctly remembered every cell of my body screaming at me to do it. Because we realized two things. Number one, if this crisis is literally the end of the world, it doesn't matter what we do. Again, who cares about our retirement portfolio in a post-apocalyptic Mad Maxian world? And number two, but if this crisis is just temporary, then we should buy, because then we're buying stocks at the greatest discount anyone has ever seen. After a few tense minutes of finger hovering, I moved my mouse cursor from the sell all button and towards the buy more button. After a few deep breaths, I clicked. And 2 weeks after that, when we got our next paychecks, I clicked it again. And 2 weeks after, I clicked it again. We continuously bought into the falling, cascading disaster that was the stock market in 2008 and 2009. And as a result of that, we ended up making all my money back just a year after the great financial crisis started. We didn't lose any money during 2008 and 2009. I don't think most of Wall Street can make that claim. The test. So what does this story have to do with you, the reader staring at their 401k dropping like a stone every day? Simple. Here's the truth. Investing in the stock market using low-cost index ETFs is simple, but it's not easy. I mean, when stock markets are just rising every day, it's easy. But when it's plummeting, that's when you figure out if you have what it takes to do this. Index investing requires you to lower your fees, buy ETFs that track the various indexes, and rebalance periodically. That last part is super important. Rebalancing periodically means that when stock markets rise, you sell some of it to buy bonds. And when stock markets plop, like they're doing now, you sell some bonds to buy equities. It's also incredibly hard to do and completely counterintuitive. People rush to buy things that are going up without end because they fear being priced out forever, so they'd better buy now or buy never. That's what's been happening in Canada's housing market. People also rush for the exits when things go down in price because they fear that all of their money is going to go up in smoke. That's what's happening in the stock market right now. Those people in both camps, by the way, will never become rich. They chase things that are expensive and they shun things that are cheap. Becoming a successful investor requires you to do the opposite. Buy things that are cheap and sell things that are expensive. Buy low, sell high. In fact, if you're still in your accumulation phase, you should be jumping up and down from joy because now you'll be able to pick up stocks that are on sale. And if you're retired like us, you should have your yield shield ready to go and your cash cushion fully funded so you won't be forced to sell assets to fund your living expenses. And you should be ready to pack up and take advantage of the geographic arbitrage to reduce your living expenses by moving to a low-cost locale like Southeast Asia, Mexico, Portugal, or Eastern Europe. Like we always say, if shit hits the fan, we're going to Thailand. So to all the people asking me whether the recent stock market correction scares me, the answer is of course not. We've been through much worse than this before, and we still made it out alive. We know what worked last time, so we know exactly what to do. The question is, do you have what it takes to do it too? You just listened to the post titled, Why You Should Be Happy The Markets Are Crashing, by Wanderer of millennial-revolution.com. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, the bad news. Mint is shutting down. And now, the good news. There's a better alternative. Our sponsor, Monarch Money. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Maybe you're saving for a down payment, A wedding? A dream vacation? Your kids' college? I found that Monarch makes it easy to help you reach your financial goals, whatever they are. I definitely wouldn't be able to allocate my finances or plan as clearly without help from Monarch. In fact, Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. That's monarchmoney.com/OFD for your extended 30-day free trial. Every time the market has a 10% correction, I see a ton of social media posts of people freaking out about how much money they lost. It's described as a meltdown, a crash, a catastrophe, but I don't see any of those things. What I see are people expressing how they didn't expect the expected and natural volatility of the stock market. Remember this, you don't lose money until you sell. What you're seeing when you review the performance of your investments are unrealized losses. Just like when you see your portfolio going up, those are unrealized gains until you sell. The message here is that you didn't lose money. Just hold on and stay the course. My friend Jeremy Schneider over at Personal Finance Club did a great post on this very subject, where he showed a chart of the largest intra-year drops of the S&P 500 over 40 years. The average drop for each year over the last 40 years is 12%. Note that this doesn't mean that the market ended the year down that much. For example, in 2020, we experienced a 34% intra-year drop, but the market recovered and ended up over 16%. Despite the average intra-year drop being 12% over the last 40 years, the annualized return over that period is a positive 11.5%. So anyone that held on over this time period, continued to invest and didn't sell, did just fine growing their wealth. Now, what if you're already retired and you're actively drawing down from your portfolio? Your asset allocation and drawdown strategy should already be optimized to handle expected market corrections and crashes. We don't know when these corrections will happen, but we do know they will at some point. So the key is to expect them and strategize accordingly. And that's a wrap for another Monday show. Have a great rest of your day and start to your week. And I'll be back tomorrow where your optimal life awaits.